Well, good morning, everyone. We've got a special prayer psalm, joy, this morning, Psalm 122. Anybody doesn't know about Psalm 122 has not been praying for Israel, probably. But it's such a great prayer for the church because they're worshiping the house of the Lord. And what is our house of the Lord now in the church age? It's a church. I had a song printed out, The Holy City. We may sing that at the end. But I was listening to this morning, the house of the Lord, and it fits this psalm so well. So as we begin here before prayer, let us just listen to this short song.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison door. Parted the raging sea, my God, He holds the victory.
Father, we do shout out praise to you, Lord. Oh, may we have joy in the house of the Lord. May we have joy in your church, Lord. May we have joy in just the fellowship of your people, Lord, and honoring you. And so guide us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, that's pretty much the commentary on Psalm 122. entitled in my Bible, The Joy of Going to the House of the Lord. The Joy of Going to the House of the Lord. And so I wrote down here, how joyful am I in going to the house of the Lord? How often do I pray about the house of the Lord? How often do I pray about my church? And how important is it to gather together? How should we look forward to that gathering together? So as we read here in verse one of Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, that word glad is joyful or joyce or rejoicing. So the psalmist is saying, I was rejoicing when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Does that fit you? Does that fit me? And you can insert the word there if you want, the house of the Lord for the last 2,000 years. For us, it could be the church. Let us go into the church of the Lord, the fellowship of believers, assembling together, so important, and how we've lost that, especially we lost it in COVID by knuckling under and closing the churches down when they were so needed, and they really, a lot of them haven't opened up since. People are still, would rather worship in their pajamas than gather with the body of Christ. But here, I was glad. Can you say that? I was glad. I was rejoicing when they said to me, let us. We're talking about a group here. We're not just talking about let me go to the house of the Lord, but I was glad when he said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, again, we keep in mind, these are ascent psalms. And you know, the first one we had, it was really a bummer because of all the criticism, the tongue lashing and all that stuff he was getting. And he was kind of down in the dumps. Then last week, they started to get closer to Jerusalem. They were happy. Now this week, they've already gotten inside the city, it would stand. It says, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Now, the three main feasts were, the main feasts were only three times a year when every male needed to attend if he possibly could. So it was a special time. It wasn't like 52 times a year. They would go every Shabbat to the temple, those in that area. But still, it should be something that we really look forward to. And so I think it's part of our heart and part of our mind more than anything else. Are we really looking forward to assembling with the body of Christ in our church? Then he goes on to say, Jerusalem is built, a city that is compact together. We don't know how small the city was at the time David wrote this, but the old city is like, any of you familiar with Miles Square Park up here, 1 mile square, 640 acres, that was estimated to be the size of Jerusalem. Cities in those days were small because they were easier to protect. They were easier to guard the walls with a small city than a huge city. So it's built a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Now that's an amazing statement when you look at that a little bit. Obviously we're talking initially about 12 tribes, but they're not going up as 12 tribes individually, they're going up as one. And now as we worship together, we come from all kinds of backgrounds and language groups and cultures. But when we assemble as one. We are the body of Christ. Isn't that amazing? And when you look at the body of Christ of believers, knowing that the Lord loves every single one of us the same, that really is convicting, isn't it? When you look at a person that you maybe don't like to be around very much because every time you're around them, you get irritated or they just irritate you. And then you say, the Lord loves that person just as much as he loves me, really. Well, if he loves that person as much as he loves me, I ought to be loving him, right? Or her, or whatever it is. But where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, that's one as one group. Where do they go? They go to the testimony of Israel. You know, that word testimony of Israel is 60 times in the Bible. Quite a. And of course, you could say, well, that's the Ten Commandments. Yes, it would include the law, but it's more than that. If you look at Psalm 119, you have over and over again the testimonies. There's only one singular testimony in Psalm 119, but it's a whole bunch of testimonies. And that is the Word of God, really. The testimony of Israel is the Word of God as well, in the Word of God. And they go there, what? To give thanks to the name of the Lord. Is that why you go to church? Really? Is that really why you go? To give thanks to the Lord? It should be. Now, what do I get out of that, in that going with the motive of giving thanks to the Lord? Well, I find myself sometimes critical of the worship leader, or critical of the songs, or critical of this, or critical of that. That's really on the wrong side of the coin, isn't it? What am I getting out of this? What am I getting out of this? Well, if you give a little bit, you'll get a lot more. If you give thanks to the name of the Lord, you'll be blessed. He is a blessing God, is he not? Thrones are set there for judgment. I was really surprised this morning. I was looking up thrones. What book in the Bible would you say uses the word thrones the most? Any ideas? Well, I figured it was Psalms. I would figure maybe Chronicles or Kings, where they're talking about the king's thrones. The number one book is the book of Revelation. 46 times in the book of Revelation are the words thrones. So thrones is not just an Old Testament figure of the old sacrificial system and all, where the king's thrones and all, but think of the thrones. Now, the thrones at the time of David's writing were not there yet, not David's thrones. They'll come later. In fact, David's thrones haven't even come yet in Jerusalem. Has the Lord reigned from the throne in Jerusalem yet? No. But he will for 1,000 years pretty soon in the millennial reign, right? But thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And there he is. How would you like to be writing the psalm about your own name? I think that's kind of interesting. Thrones of David, you know, because God made him the covenant, didn't he? 2 Samuel 7, I think it is, where he wanted to build the Lord a house, and the Lord, you know, Nathan said, great idea, and so forth, and then Nathan had to go back and say, the Lord said, no, you can't, your hands are bloody, you're a man of war, you can't build a house. But God said, tell David, I will build him a house that will what? Last forever. That's what we're talking about here. The perpetual, eternal reign of the house of David. Then the familiar verse in verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We'll have three pieces in here. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem in verse 6. Verse 7, peace be within your walls. Verse 8, I will now say peace be within you. How often are you praying for the peace of your church? How often are you praying for peace to the fellow believers that you worship with? In fact, how often are you praying for this group right here? How often are you praying for each one here by name? I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not talking about a legal thing. I'm just talking about, where is it in your heart? Because this is what we're talking about here. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, it would include that city over there. It would include what's going on over there with all of Jerusalem's enemies. But it really, the peace part is not going to happen there or anywhere really until what? Messiah returns. There'll never be peace in Israel until Messiah returns. I don't care what kind of treaties you have or anything else, there won't be. Because the evil one is going to make sure there's no peace, right? And he's got more control in some ways than he will have after he's cast out. He gets cast out of heaven in what? Revelation chapter 12. It hadn't happened yet. He's still got access to heaven. He's been thrown out of there as his only kind of abode, but he knows time is running out, so he is really furious. But we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then it is may they. Now, who are the they? Well, Jerusalem's a singular word, but it's they, the people. It's the tribes. It's the people in Jerusalem and in the church. Pray for the peace of the church. Pray for prospering those who are in the church. And then peace be within your walls. Yes, I kind of like this picture back here on the wall. I realize it's just a facsimile, really, that the Turks built during the time of the Crusades. It's not really the original wall there, but it's supposed to look like it. And that's the East Gate there. And, of course, the East Gate has been closed for some time, but one day it'll be open. And that's where our Lord will come through. And we will as well, I believe. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. So that's a good prayer for each of us here. May peace be within your home, prosperity within your home, primarily spiritual prosperity. But you know, God, when we read in the Psalms, he doesn't see his children going begging bread, does he? So there's all kinds of prosperity there included, but we're not in praying for a lot of money, because that's just a stumbling block, real stumbling block if you have too much. And verse 8, for the sake of my brethren, that's you and that's me to each other, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say. Isn't that amazing? Is that what you think of when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will not now say peace be within you. I think it includes all that. Because of the house of the Lord our God, or because of the church, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, what is your referred to? What's that pronoun referred to? I believe it refers to Jerusalem. I believe it refers to the church for us. So because of the church, I will seek the church's good. Are you seeking the church's good? You can keep this little body of Christ here in prayer for another place to meet. But far more important than a meeting place is for fruitfulness in every body of Christ to redeem the time. We don't have much time left. And you know, we want to be with the Lord and we want to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I hope he comes today. And I think that's good, except that he's going to come exactly right on time and he's determining that. And I believe that's going to be the fullness of the Gentiles has some relativity to that somewhere along the line. So that means there's still more to be saved, or he wouldn't have us here, right? If there weren't any more to be saved, we would be with him now. So we really have, by our very presence here, we have marching orders, don't we, really? So we want to pray for each other and the church, and we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem as well. So, Father, lead us in this time of prayer, and however you would lead us, whatever you want us to pray for, we want to be praying in that way. And may we honor you, and may we bring you glory. And thank you for this family, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to gather every Saturday morning. And it just is such a blessing, such a blessing. So we thank you and praise you. Lead us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Father, I just so agree. And I know those who are against Israel really are against you. That's the big problem, Lord. And so we pray for the lost, Lord. Yes. Help us to be discerning in troubles and tribulations and all that stuff. Help us to remember that we're saved, Lord. Help us remember that you took it. You took all of that stuff for us. And help us to remember to turn on, as Pastor Chuck would say, turn on the light. It doesn't matter how much darkness there is out there. You can't do anything about shadow boxing in the darkness. Just turn on the light. Turn on the light. You've given us the light. You've given us the word to proclaim, and that word is alive. It will be the germinating power that you will use in the hearts and minds of those who receive it. They may reject it on the outside, but your word penetrates. So, Lord, may we just, as we look on a ledger sheet or whatever, how much are we concerned about the evil versus what are we doing with the light? You said, be salt, be light, be salt, be light. Help us to do that, Lord. You've given us the glorious truth. And our job is really getting easier all the time in one way, because the difference between the good and the evil is growing. And rather than say, oh, that's too bad, we got so much evil, let's say we need more light. May there be more light in your church, Lord. We see too many churches who have never even grown back after COVID, 3 years after COVID, still only maybe a half of what they were before COVID. And so, Lord, we need to be shaken up, it seems to me. I guess, I don't know, we don't like being shaken up, but I do think that's often comes out of that is much more growth than just the status quo. So, Lord, I pray for this fellowship that already been prayed for this morning several times. We'll pray for it again. I pray just each one would really be in prayer. If each one is really in prayer, the least of our problems is a place to meet. But that many would come to you, that this place would be teeming with young people. It would be teeming with all ages, Lord.
Yes.
And every church, Lord. We just need the young people, Lord. We don't, all of us are growing old, and spiritually we're better, but physically not so hot. We think everybody around us is dying, and we recognize the death rate hasn't changed in 6,000 years. 100 out of 100 will die. So some die more quickly than others in cases of plagues and all that, but the death rate doesn't change. It's 100 out of 100. And so, Lord, we have the answer. You are the answer. You are eternal life. You are life. Help us to give that out today, Lord, wherever you have us today, Lord, not to waste today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, let's close with going back to Jerusalem here. We got three world-class tenors here coming together. So let's stand and sing.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in all Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, me thought the voice of angels from heaven answering. Me thought the voice of angels from heaven answering. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to your King.
And then methought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang.
The sun grew dark with mystery, the moon was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill.
As the shadow
open wide,
and all who would might have
Father, we do thank you that last line, Hosanna, four times means save now, save now, save now, save now. We thank you for that line that says no one was denied, but we know no one will be admitted unless their name is written in the book of life. Help us to turn on that light, Lord, as we go our way. May you be honored in our hearts today, Lord, and may our presence make a difference in someone's life, Lord, and primarily through prayer, but also in witness. In Jesus' name, amen.